With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon. I got my heart monitored. Turns out I have one.
It's hot just like me.
Oh, yeah.
It's really hot.
It is really hot, even though I have not stepped outside in like a hot second. You guys, it's Andy Scrolls. It's episode, I think, 121. I wrote that down. Ooh. It might be 122 and three quarters. I couldn't tell you.
Well, just go with whatever you say.
Right? Well, just, it's like, listen, it might be 121 or 22, but it's definitely number one. Ooh. In my heart and soul. Guys, I'm so excited to be here on the People's Couch with none other than Desus and Mero writer, comedian, Real Housewife, actress, superstar, Z-Way.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going so well. So Z-Way, pleasure to have you. We were supposed to see each other on Wednesday.
I know, for my favorite show that I love to do.
Which is Here for Dramas. Mm. Quasi, quarterly, yearly, whatever and ever, amen. Their reading of famed historic moments, mm-hmm. in Housewives history. They dip into the archives. They've done the Berserkshires. We were just talking about this. They've done other amazing moments.
Yes, they've done You Stole My Goddamn House. Yeah.
There have been some historic moments that are just
Ireland.
Too good. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been some shows of shows. So I was so excited. You were in the show. Who did you play?
I played Ramona.
Oh my God. Wow. Classic.
Ramona's Shakespearean. Kinda, yeah. She's the straight man in that season. This was, it's not you. It's Miami. The Miami where Barbara like spray town all over the house. But Ramona's the straight man in that season. She's like the most sensible, which is really odd to play that version of Ramona. Cause I find her to be a nut. But yeah.
One of my favorite moments from that vacation is when she's talking to Lou and Lou's like, the girls are just jealous of me. And she very, very quickly and honestly and calmly is like,
oh no, honey, no. That is not right.
Which is,
yeah, it's genius.
Maybe one of her best lines.
I know, it's a great read. Yeah.
It's such a good read because you know she's just being dead honest. Yeah. She's like, no, that's definitely not what
exactly.
This is. So I was so excited to narrate it. And then guys, fun times. Wednesday afternoon, I was unfortunately in the hospital overnight for no reason. They just wanted me to meet McDreamy and I was like all in. So totally fine. All is well in the insides of my body, all things considered. But I was unfortunately unable to narrate the show, which I was so sad about. I was literally telling the doctors, like, can I leave for a second, mm-hmm. and go to Brooklyn and do this show and then come back? And they were like, that is so cool. No, you cannot.
Do not do that.
You have to stay
here
overnight.
We missed you at the show for sure. But I'm glad that you're happy and healthy,
yes,
and on the right track.
Totally. All is fine. I feel a little loopy today, but in the best possible way. And
good.
Shout out to you, the cast of the show, the team behind it, Ryan, Jordan, and Alex, and Philip Henry, superstar, who stepped in with such grace and I'm sure
totally.
Power and
he
brought the house down.
Yeah.
I mean, as he is in everything in his life. So, to the AG listeners who went, I'm sure you had a blast. And I'm so glad that it was the huge success that I've been hearing from everyone that it is.
It was so much fun. Yeah, it was great.
And I hope to be in a future production.
That'd be so cool. I would love
to
do more of
those. If I actually was able to show up.
Yeah, I love that show. It's so fun.
It just, you know, I saw some clips that people were sending me while I was, you know, laying in a hospital bed trying not to die. And it looked amazing. So whether I'm in a future reading or I'm there as an attendee, you guys, there will be ample opportunity to kiki with this girl here, SG. And it sounds like it was a great success. And it was for charity. They raised a bunch of money.
Yeah,
for God's love, we deliver.
Yeah, it was honestly so impressive. I give it up to those guys for running that production. It was so great.
Yeah. And guys, if you haven't heard of it, it's this series that Ryan, Alex, and Jordan do where they literally transcribe like crazy fights that have happened from a variety of different franchises, but then they also kind of like rewrite the wheel, which is a new phrase that I am going to start saying because it is magical and makes a lot of sense. They add like little tidbits, like they add a lot of sass. There's like jokes throughout. It's
yeah, like
really
as far
cool.
As, well, with the what the housewives say, those are direct quotes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the like action lines, those are like the ones where they really let the writing fly, and it's just so funny.
Yeah. So, yeah. Guys, if you weren't able to make it this week, don't you fret, because I'm sure they're already working on their next show and it's going to be magical. And speaking of magical, Z-Way, you have a show coming up.
I do. It is on September 21st at 7:30 p.m. at Union Hall. It's my pop show. We have some hot, hot comedians coming through.
Oh my God, I can't
Lorelai Ramirez, Anna Fabrega, Amy Zimmer performing in their band, Ike. Yeah, it's going to be a party. I'm so excited.
It sounds amazing. Yeah. And speaking of amazing, so you're a writer on Desus and Marrow, who were on, so like they did a fun little show swap. So they went on Watch What Happens.
Oh yeah, that was so fun.
And then Anderson and Andy went on their show.
Yeah.
And I have to say, both of those shows, of which I watched both in full, were so fucking funny.
Yeah, they're so funny. It was such a pleasure. Oh my God, I'm absolutely obsessed with I think it's just so fun. It's such an exciting.
They have it, like, the four of them have a great chemistry.
They have
together.
A really good, yeah, that's what I was about to say. They have such a fantastic chemistry. It really feels like you're watching these guys just hang out. It's honestly like the most entertaining television in the world. I love it.
So did you get a chance to like kiki with Andy or Anderson when they were on set?
No, I mean, I talked to Andy briefly and I was just like, hi, I love you. I'm obsessed with you. You're brilliant. And then I ended up seeing him at Watch What Happens Live when Issa Rae and Robin Thede and Amber Ruffin.
Oh, another terrific. I watched that episode twice.
Yeah, that was really fun. So like brief, but not like anything like substantial, but just like, hi, you're fantastic.
And how was he?
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fan for sure.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I wonder if they should do something at BravoCon. They should do like a panel.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Whatever. Hey, I would totally go watch. Although, do you have BravoCon tickets?
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't even bother to get them. But if anyone has them, I'd love to go. Yeah.
I mean, Bravo HQ.
Yeah, dude. Make this happen. It's Mecca. No.
It's going to be great. I say this best possible way. It's going to be like the most wonderful shit show. And I don't mean in any way that it'll be disorganized. I actually think it's going to be fucking incredible. But to have like thousands of Bravo fans, Bravoholics come from all over the place, probably all over the world. It's going to be like crazy amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited. It seems like it's a really good programming.
Yeah, I can't wait to see, like, a lot of Bravo Lebs have been talking about like, I'm coming. I can't wait to see more of like the itinerary for the days. Like they've said, like there's this happening and this, and I just can't wait to get like a little bit more information.
I know. So I can live vicariously through you guys who are going.
Oh my God, for real. Yeah. It's going to be bananas.
Do you think you'll get to touch the housewives? Like, will you get to touch Leanne Locken?
I hope so. Well, here's the thing. I actually don't know. I don't have
Is
any
like a petting zoo.
Oh my God. It's completely like, don't feed the animals. With, I don't know, tweets and stuff. I don't have any details on what I'm doing. They gave me...
Oh, you're working it.
They gave me like a press whatever. So,
nice, dude.
But I don't know what that means. You know how sometimes it's like...
You'll get backstage... you'll get exclusive access to exclusive events.
Okay, so that means I'm going to be like big or little spooning several. I hope Aaron comes. I just honestly like...
Oh, Aaron from Denise Richards.
I am obsessed with...
very handsome.
I'm obsessed with Aaron.
I'm obsessed with Denise Richards.
I'm also obsessed with Married to Medicine. I've been rewatching all of the reunions. And yeah. If I want to see some of the Married to Medicine folks, like Dr. Damon is one of the loves of my life. I cannot stop... Like, I giggle when he comes on screen because he seems like maybe the perfect guy.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm excited to see both the housewives and also other Bravo celebrities.
Totally. I love to watch them interact. It seems like it's like Andy's baby shower all over again.
I still can't get over the fact that Bravo didn't even send a single camera there, that they had Radio Andy, which is fine, but those women were loaded. So like, them drunk yammering is great. I mean, I listen to it, but also I wish we had more video.
I respect him wanting to keep it as like, you know, like an intimate moment.
Do you think that was a choice? I felt like just Bravo didn't even think to record it.
How could Bravo not? Bravo runs a fantastic production.
Like they should know.
It's not that they didn't think to do it. Maybe he just didn't want to. I don't. I have no idea the circumstances.
Is there ever a moment, maybe, I guess, in his life? Because the cool thing about it was that it wasn't necessarily professional. It was like a personal moment. And these women, these wives, moms, whatever, genuinely wanted to support him, which was what was so fantastic about it. I'm just wondering, like, what's another moment in his life that we, the viewers, can take part in with like a formal special? I would think a wedding. Like,
I don't know. A very indie wedding. If whatever the guy wants, maybe he doesn't want that. I don't know. We have no idea.
I just want, I love those specials because it's so weird seeing like Dallas interact with like Beverly Hills. Like,
yeah, that is super trippy.
It's so strange.
I know, but maybe I understand wanting to preserve that magic. Did you ever read that article quote that was like, someone asked Andy, like, would he ever make like a best of Housewives?
Oh, yeah.
All on. And he's like, that's when you know it's like moving past. So I understand. Like,
it's on its way down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He said that.
Like a road rules situation. Yeah, yeah,
exactly. So I think it would be fantastic and I would watch the hell out of it. But I'm okay with like preserving the universes and building those worlds out before we head to like the final countdown.
So here's a question. I got a satchel of gold, a listener cue from somebody last week that was like, I fear that this is the end of Housewives. And I don't remember what it was in relation to. It might have been, oh my God, what was it? It might have been like an OC thing or something. I don't remember what inspired that or if it was just like a general concern. Do you see that at all? Do you see the end of the horizon?
The ratings are pretty good.
I mean, these women,
they
did
like a 1.6, I thought, this week.
For which?
OC.
Yeah. Do you know what Potomac's numbers are?
They're not bad. I think they're like 1.4.
They need to get Atlanta's the best.
Well, 1.4, but I think that's a stretch. Maybe it's 1. I think that they had a spike, but I'm not I can't remember the exact figures. But Potomac has been on a general rise.
Right, because the season has been insane. Because
it's so wild and fantastic. So the ratings are doing great.
Right, I feel like these women are genuine celebrities at this point. Like
they're very niche celebrities.
They're super niche celebrities, but they're on the zeitgeist, right? And so I think we have at least, like, if I was being like a negative Nancy, I would say we have at least 5 years before we see something. I think.
Why would it be on a decline?
I don't know. I wonder what we'll be moving into, like if the world will still exist at that point. Like, I don't, I don't know where we will be, like, culturally. I think that Bravo is like such a ongoing shooting star that I don't see anything like happening to people's attention going to a different network at this point. I do think though that at a certain point they're going to have to make strategic decisions about some of these franchises that just aren't matching the potential and power of some of the existing ones, which they did with Miami, they did with DC. There was a moment in time when Bravo saw something. Or maybe it's because those, you know, like Miami had what, like 3 or 4 seasons.
I DC loved only Miami. Loved Miami.
It was great. It was so but good. For it because
Joanna
it,
Krupa, an all-star housewife.
All-star evil housewife.
I know. Thank she's a so villain. Much. I love she's a villain. Villain.
Yeah, but she knew what needed to be done. She did it. So I wonder, you know, Bravo used to seemingly be better in my eyes at making like tough choices, even if I didn't agree with them, but they were like, you're done. Like DC, you sucked. It's done. We're going to focus on other things. And then they started Dallas and they made Dallas great. They started Potomac. Potomac's fantastic. And I just wonder if in the next couple years, there will be a time where they're going to say, you know what? We need to either redo Beverly Hills or you focus on a different part of
but
LA.
The ratings
OC.
Are good. The ratings are so, even if you personally,
right,
like,
I know.
Like generally Housewives, because I'm someone who's like, Beverly Hills, the story, I don't think it has as much depth necessarily as what you'd get from New Jersey, where like Teresa's husband's being deported.
Yeah.
Or you get from like Potomac, where like someone's husband may or may not have assaulted a crew member, you know?
Yeah.
You don't get that depth. But people are watching in droves. And so until it goes off of a cliff, why would anything change? But they did add two housewives.
To Beverly Hills this week, Garcelle Beauvais and Sutton Strack. I don't know how to pronounce her name.
They're both friends of Lisa Rinna's.
I didn't know that Garcelle was a friend of... They're oh, that actually friends. Makes sense because of, like, the Hollywood of it all.
But, like, tell me, like, what is this world where we're all friends with Lisa Rinna? Is she the queen bee?
I mean, I love it. I love that Lisa Rinna... I love Lisa Rinna in and of herself because she's kind of like, this is a terrible use of the word, but not that she's like trashy, but she was like, you know, like
trashy,
not that I don't mean trashy, but I mean like D-list. Like she wasn't like, she never got the kind of success that Denise Richards got, for example, but she has so many connections and you know,
and she works so dang hard.
I'm obsessed with her. I love her. I wasn't sure about
the casting choice when she was cast.
Oh, really? I loved it.
I was completely wrong. I was nervous that because she was like an actor with a capital A, it would be performative.
But it is performative.
But in the best possible way.
Yes. She's giving us soap.
She's giving us soap. And I love it. And I love when she's messy. Like, I love everything about it. I also love when it was like right up against the Mad Men years with Harry, where it's like she couldn't attend an event because they were going to a Mad Men event. Because I thought it lifted her out of like the D-list stuff, which again, loved her. I meant Trashy as a compliment that she's like kind of out of it and she would take every, you know, depends. Like she knew.
She's a hustler.
She's a hustler and she always wanted to cash that check. And God bless her, by God the way, bless. For it. Kim Richards only wishes she was able to sell diapers.
Sharknado.
One day. Yeah, that was the biggest point in her career as an adult. Can you imagine peaking at 8? Like that's rough, tough
it's
stuff.
It's honestly tough because she really gave us a lot.
She gave us a lot. And now it's done.
Wow. Cool.
Thank you for your charitable giving, Kim. So with Lisa, it's like it's kind of amazing that these choices have connections with her. Her friend Sutton, I went to Sutton's Instagram yesterday.
Same. I already follow them.
So I don't follow them yet. Kudos to you for that. Mm-hmm. So Sutton seems interesting in that, you know, she seems to travel all over the place.
Yeah.
She goes to, like, she went to the Elton John AIDS Foundation, like, Oscar viewing with Kyle and other rich, wealthy women. I like that it seems like she has oodles of money. I think that's really important for Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And Garcelle, I know, like, her face. I think she's very familiar to people who may or may not be able to, like, repeat her IMDb, but they know her as a woman who's been successful with acting work. I actually know her because I remember, or know her most because I remember when she was going through a divorce with her husband, who I believe was an agent and or is still an agent at like CAA or something.
Damn.
And she found out that he'd cheated on her. And I can't remember if it was while she was pregnant or soon after, something like that. She found out he cheated on her. So she emailed everyone at his office to let them know. And it got out, obviously, because she's telling all of these high power people in Hollywood they're going to talk about it. So it like leaked to the press or whatever. And I just thought that was such a badass move. That was like, my husband fucked me over. I just want to make sure that all of his colleagues are aware that I feel like she'll be a great addition because I would love to see that. I would love to see that aspect.
I'm so excited. I think that Beverly Hills needed new blood.
Yeah, for real.
I also am on the team where I'm like, the story really isn't moving me in any way. Like, I can't really. I mean, I like the meta construct of like they're fighting over Lisa being the boss of the show. Lisa Vanderpump being the boss of the show.
The production of it all.
Like, that's. I think that once we get to the production, like that's where Potomac shines. So, but we'll see. I don't know.
It's interesting to me that allegedly all of the women are still there. Camille has said online that she wasn't asked back. So maybe there's,
which I'm sad about.
I'm super sad about it because Camille carried the weight for all those motherfuckers. I am surprised that Teddy is still there. I'm surprised that Erica Jane is still there and they're adding two women. My immediate, you know, this is coming from nowhere, just my gut instinct is that they're going to add these two women, see how they do. There's a likelihood to me that Garcelle will be full-time, Sutton will be a friend of.
I think,
but of course they just started filming, so who the fuck knows. But I actually think that if all of the other returning women are filming, I think they're, depending on what happens and what drama there is as they film, which determines for a lot of them whether they're full-time or part-time, I actually think that Teddy will be demoted to friend of, as will Erica Jane.
These your prayers?
These are my hopes and prayers. Even if Sutton Strack, which is such a name.
I love it. It's so rich.
I love it.
Yes.
It's expensive to be Sutton. So regardless to me of how Sutton does, I think that Garcelle probably signed some sort of contract that essentially make sure that she's full time.
I feel like all the actresses have good deals.
Yeah, like their agents know what's up. Yeah, they're not gonna like fuck around.
Denise has a good deal too.
Denise has a terrific deal. Yeah. I feel like some of these people who are returning and are like extolling the power that they hold as a returning person should maybe dial that back a little bit. Maybe that's in my imagination because I genuinely don't see all of these women still being full time and then them adding in these two people.
No, not at all. Someone's getting cut. What do you think of Teddy?
I think Teddy served a purpose. I understand people, LVP stands anger against her. I am grateful for the Doggate, Puppygate at the beginning, certainly not when it was like dead for the rest of the season because there was nothing else to talk about. I appreciate her. I'm not a Teddy stan. I don't know if those people exist, but I mean, genuinely, like, let's hold those stans accountable. I appreciate what she did at the beginning, and I think she's like served her story. I don't see any reason for her to continue on the show and that to be beneficial to us, the fans. And I also really need somebody to come into the cast and break this shit up, which is why Camille was so powerful. What do you think?
I think, well, I kind of feel the same way about Erica, where I'm like, I've always been expecting Erica to rise
totally
like a phoenix and be the boss bitch, because that's kind of the persona that she projects, right? That she doesn't care, she's cunty with a C, you know, like she's a necklace, whatever. And I love that. I think it's like so powerful and raw.
Yeah,
but then when she's backed into a corner by Teddy and Kyle, she flees. You know, she's in Provence and she's like, I feel like I'm being bullied, and she leaves. At reunion, she really doesn't make, she says, I forgive you, which is healthy and it shows a lot of growth as a human. But as a health-wise, I don't find it entertaining.
I also don't think she really wants to be on the show. She wants to be on the show to like
make for the sure, benefit.
For the benefit, but she doesn't really.
She doesn't want to get messy.
No, she's not an active participant. And the best parts of Erica come out when she's in a room with LVP, because they genuinely dislike each other.
They genuinely hate each other.
And I don't see Erica serving a powerful purpose unless LVP is back, which I think could absolutely happen in a couple years when Teddy is totally off.
LVP is not coming back.
I think she's coming back in like 3 seasons. Absolutely.
Oh, on some Bethany shit? Maybe. Yeah. You know what I see for LVP? I see her doing Vanderpump Rules.
No, you don't.
Las Vegas. Vanderpump Rules. Did you see that she was looking in Florida at a new restaurant location?
I didn't.
Yeah, that was on Reddit, bitch. Yeah, I see her doing 18 Vanderpump Rules spin-offs.
Really?
Yes, I've been following like the potential castmates for Las Vegas.
But I feel like the thing with Pump Rules that makes it, or made it, depending on how you view the current state of affairs, so impactful was that these were genuine, crazy, insane, dysfunctional friends, partners, whatever. And it was the perfect point in time and the best idea for a spinoff. And I don't know that you can create another version of that in Vegas when it's not necessarily with like a crazy dysfunctional
family,
you know, like, yeah, friend. Like, yeah, family.
I totally see that. But at the same time, Vegas, wild. Do you the also, money in Vegas, it's like so flashy. Yeah.
The customers would be interesting.
It would be like high end, like Lady Gaga would come through. Are you kidding?
Do you think, though, that Bravo will be interested after how LVP has treated production?
So messy.
Do you think that they would want to continue developing with her after this?
I think that regardless of if they don't want to develop with her, she'll sell a show. She is a genius producer.
Yeah, I could see her selling something to E! I don't know.
She's a genius producer.
I don't know as far as like trademarking and stuff. I don't know like who owns even the term, like the service mark for Vanderpump Rules. So I don't know how that would go down. I remember when Kenya left Atlanta, she was, I'm sure it was her, leaking rumors that she was going to get a birth spinoff.
I remember that.
With E, and it never happened.
Yeah.
So I wonder what will go down with Lisa. I wonder how her press tour for Vanderpump Rules will go.
I know. I'm really interested to see her first visit back to the clubhouse. But she might not go.
Can you imagine?
Her fucking brother died. Her mother died.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, I actually, so I'm not so sympathetic to Lisa Vanderpump in the sense that I understand if she's out, she's out. Like, the show must go on without her. But I feel like they could have handled her with a little softer gloves, because she was really going through a lot. Like her closest family members passed away. So, like, yeah, is she manipulative? Sure. But, like, give her a free pass. Maybe that's toxic of me.
I think it is terrible. And we we all agree that she has undergone a lot of loss, but I don't see that having a true impact in why she left. I think she ran when the water got too hot.
She ran when the water got too hot. I agree.
And she, the victimization complex that she has been able to deploy so seemingly successfully online, while also essentially encouraging her stans to like maliciously attack her former cast members is a bridge too far. But I also think I do think that if in a couple seasons Teddy is gone, I could see Dorit leaving in a couple seasons. I think if it was like Kyle, I don't know what's going to happen with Rin. I would assume she was still there. Who knows what
Lisa
other...
Lisa and Lisa are never going to come head to head again.
Well, who knows? But I do think that Lisa will probably never be friends again with Teddy, most assuredly.
Definitely not. Likely, she never was really friends with her in the first place.
Exactly right. It was like more to piss off Dorit. Yeah. I don't see her coming back with Dorit, but I could see Lisa Vanderpump returning in a couple seasons and her and... Kyle, the two of them making peace. I do see it. I see it in three seasons. I really do.
I would love to see it.
And wouldn't
Are
she?
You kidding?
And
That'd
she
be
would be.
It'd be great. I wish she was at the fucking reunion.
I know. It would be. I wish she had been at the reunion, even if it had been a Kim Richards just out of rehab style, lovely, beautifully lit, rich living room side piece with Andy.
Well, he didn't want to do that. He said her time to speak was at the reunion.
Totally. That's also why he was like, the next time she comes back on Watch What Happens, it's not going to be kid gloves. He's like, if she wanted to go on an apology tour, she could have done that on camera on the show that she quit. Yeah. It would have been great for her to come on and walk off. I mean, she did that so effectively in Bahamar. She knows how to get people's sympathy while also participating.
But she's just tired. She suffered major losses.
I know she did.
The regular Lisa Vanderpump at her height would be able to manipulate the situation so that she somehow comes out as the good guy. But she's exhausted from the loss.
She is.
She's so tired.
She is so tired. It's
That's
wonderful.
That's why she got sloppy. The dog gate was sloppy. That's why she got caught.
It's wonderful she was able to record Pump Rolls while dealing with the
but
death
she had
of
to
her
take,
brother.
She had to take time off.
As well she should. Yeah. As well she should.
So two shows at the same time?
I mean, maybe Ken could fill in for her since he seems to be
I
so
pray
intent.
For Ken. I pray that Ken never dies. No, I'm serious because I'm like worried for her. I'm really worried for her.
Okay, I was about to say something terrible, but I'm not going to say who's going to go first, Ken or Jiggy.
Jiggy's already dead.
Ken has 20 years left. He's a bionic man at this point. He's got hips.
20 years is a long time.
How old is he? He's like mid 70s. No. Tom is older than Ken.
Tom Ravenel?
No, Tom, Mr. Erica Jane Tom.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. He's,
okay, I'll check.
Yeah, Tom Gerard. Am I fucking up these names, you guys? Neurosymptoms. Tom is definitely Girardi. Tom is definitely whatever is definitely older than Ken.
Damn, that's absolutely wild.
I was looking at
he is 62. Okay, I'm so rude.
And Lisa, he's like 13 or something years older
than
Lisa.
She is 58. And although those are Hollywood ages.
Yeah, and she looks amazing. The fact
she's gorgeous. She has the best work.
She's older, I think, than Vicky.
She's gorgeous.
And younger than Ramona. Now, Ramona looks flawless. The fact that she is older, I mean, they're also two different people, and she's naturally gorgeous. I was looking at her wedding photo yesterday because I think it was their anniversary or whatever. She looked great then.
Vanderpump.
She looks great now. Really he actually sort of looks the same. He had that shitty hair back
the
then,
mullet.
And he's continuing it. I mean, we'll see what happens with Beverly Hills. I have low expectations. I genuinely thought production was going to do a clean sweep after this season, and I thought the same for the current OC, and I've been wrong on both.
Oh, what did you think of this week's episode of OC?
Okay. We need to dive into it. First off, it's been an interesting season so far.
Not bad.
Not bad, but also this week was episode 4, and I feel like I've been watching the season of OC for several months. It feels like a listener said this to me as a satchel, and I'm so sorry. I forget your name. But it was like watching Potomac makes me realize that OC feels like homework.
Yes, that's
true. And that was, shout out to you, that was exactly right. Because Potomac, oh man, it's such a quick, great fix. It just goes straight to the veins and it's fantastic and it's flawless and it's interesting and it's exciting. And it's also like what's going on TV, also what's going on IRL.
I know.
Plus the combination with production, it's giving me everything I've ever needed and didn't even know.
100%.
And OC, is like, okay, cool. So Gina seems like she's in a dark place.
Yeah, Gina's going through it.
Gina's going through it. And like, do we need to see that? Like, I was watching one of Gina's. Do we need to see that? Do we need to see it? Is it right for this? Is it just bringing us down? During one of Gina's confessionals, she was wearing like that Tres Amigas style necklace. You know how they have that bullshit necklace that like Tamra bought them or whatever that they've been wearing on press? And Gina has like the exact one, but it says Gina. And I just feel like that best exemplifies Gina. Like, she's alone. Aww. Like, she makes her own fun little trend happen, but it's just her.
That's so sad.
It's so sad. Her husband this week asked for spousal support.
I know. Well, because he lost his job.
He said he was forced to resign because of the domestic violence allegations that came out, and you know, through their divorce, contentious divorce, spoiler alert, shocker, it's not going well, it came out that she was paid like $63,000.
That shocked me,
which is shockingly low. Lord knows she's not using it on glam, but that is a low number. And he's now asking, he used to make like, I want to say like $400,000, which to me is a lot of money. To OC, I think that's probably fine.
$400,000 is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And now he's
a
making
year? That's a lot of money.
A lot of money plus whatever bonuses. And now he's making $0 and is asking for a cut of the 60, which like, fuck. And who
but
knows?
Is he doing that to be spiteful?
I think he's doing it because he doesn't want to pay the 10 that the court ordered him to do. He's like,
$10,000 a month is a lot. But I mean, if she's raising the kids, I don't know. It's all that
stuff.
He's
not even in the same
much.
Town. It's like she should be getting, she should be getting a check. And it's not like, it's tough. I mean, you look at the 10 that she's getting versus how much Shannon was initially told she was getting. I think it was like late 20s or maybe 30. And then she said she didn't need that much. And David is making a hell of a lot more money, or at least is worth a hell of a lot more money than Matt, than Gina's soon to be ex. You know, so this is a very long winded way of saying OC is fine to watch. It's not, though, enjoyable. I thought this episode,
I find was, Kelly enjoyable.
Kelly's so enjoyable because even when she's technically in the right, she's so reactive that she lashes out at essentially whomever speaks to her last.
Yes.
Which this week meant Gina, poor, sweet, hurt, broken bird.
Shut the fuck up. I know.
And she's like, you shouldn't have an opinion, which I don't know. They're on a show. They have to talk about it. It was fascinating to me that Tamra once again has been able to be the messenger and never get killed.
Yeah, she throws the rock and then it hides her hand.
She throws the rock and then she's just like, it wasn't me. It was the person standing next to me who did absolutely nothing, because they were in the same playground that I was in, rock garden. They should be the ones to get. The fact that she threw Shannon so quickly and smoothly under the bus with like, Shannon was there with Vicky, so it's their fault. They're the ones talking about it. And it's like, sweetie, production is showing us the clip yet again of the fact that you were the one to bring it up and you're stirring it so
I hate that storyline. I think it's just so cruel to Kelly.
What did you think when you heard just even the word train last week?
I
what did you think?
I thought exactly what it is.
That it was like
a sex train. Like a gangbang.
Yeah, that did not come to me.
What? But I think it's fucking bullshit. It's just a lie. Like, that's so. That's what I honestly fundamentally do not like Vicky Gumbelson.
Yeah, she's a horrible person.
Yeah, because like the way. So remember when she would be like, Shannon, I know you have even worse secrets.
Yeah.
And the secret was that she allegedly got abused by her husband.
Right. She's a piece of shit.
I'm like, that's like so disgusting. So to me, it's like no stakes when it's like, oh man, like we're just gonna make up lies. Like, that's when you fire a housewife, when they start lying for attention.
And isn't there something else that she could have done, like being just genuinely passive aggressive without bringing out stuff that's so obviously fake? Because she's known as the person that does that. She did that with Eddie being, quote, like gay.
Yeah.
She did that with this. Obviously, she was involved in Cancergate and the cover up. I mean, she was that woman on that mountain in Canada or wherever the fuck they were. I forget which season, with Lori Waring Peterson when she found out from Gretchen. Oh, it couldn't have been Canada. I forget where it was. When she was like, I have not had sex with multiple partners, whatever the fuck that was.
Yeah.
Because Lori Waring Peterson was like, I walked in on you at an insurance convention laying on a bed with a woman. And Vicky's like, it's my sister. What the fuck are you talking about? And it was a nothing burger that was blown up because Lori wanted to take revenge. And this was a completely obvious lie.
Yeah.
She's now doing the exact same thing to Kelly to double down on just spreading bullshit, like saying she was a cokehead.
I feel so bad, Jolie. That scene with Jolie, I was like, this is sad.
It was sad like it. Because, listen.
Okay, maybe I didn't like it. No, I like OC this season, but it makes me feel sad.
It makes me feel sad. I feel like these women are in a tough spot when it comes to being too honest with their kids about what's going on. And I think there's something to be said for not saying it in the moment when there's not resolution. I do think these kids need to be informed because every child has an iPhone. Their parents are going to talk shit and they're going to go to school and their schoolmates are going to be like, mommy told me that blah, 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 or I saw on Radar Online or whatever. So there's something to be said for letting their child know, listen, there are lies out here. This is so you can understand how social media can be dangerous and how like this isn't necessarily true. But Kelly overshares with her kid in the moment when there's no resolution, which I'm sure has given Jolie anxiety when she's hearing about the shit that people are saying about her mommy. And it's done in such an emotional way that it's like stripping her young child of innocence.
I love Jolie. Right.
And she's so cool. And she's so smart. She reminds me a lot of Avery, and that Avery from a young age saw that Ramona could be insane and would call her on it. And I think Jolie is so important because she seems very, is it emotionally mature, emotionally intelligent? She gets it. Like when her mom is like, we're dumb and dumber, and she says it as such an aside, and Jolie's on the slopes, and Jolie's like, no, that's not a, like, I'm not dumb. Like, that's not the right.
She's like, you're dumber.
Right.
Yeah. And it's such a like deadpan. She seems like a sweet young lady, and I hope that she doesn't get bullied. Stop. If you are listening to this and you bully Jolie, just know that there's a special
fuck you
place
up
in hell.
Yeah. We're going to find you on the dark web or whatever the fuck they call it. I don't understand how the internet works. We're gonna murder you with words.
Oh goodness.
So what do you think about the fact that Shannon and Tamra heard these rumors? Shannon was in the room, so I can't wait to hear actual information about how this went down, and didn't tell Kelly.
Heard the rumor, like in the way that Bronwyn, oh, we have to talk about Bronwyn too, the way that Bronwyn called Kelly.
Exactly.
I think it's a tough one because the more you talk about it, the bigger it grows.
Totally.
Erica Jane quote.
Holler.
Holler. But I think you should tell her, but I think you should tell her offline. And then, but if you're going to not fucking bring it up, don't fucking bring it up. Don't fucking talk about it. Shut the fuck up.
I mean, Tamra was like, don't bring it up. It being that thing that I talked about on camera.
She knew the trap she was setting.
She totally did. She absolutely laid it and Kelly stepped into it. And now the focus probably next week will be on like Broken Bird Gina and Kelly's like anger tour. And she should feel a lot of rage because it's obviously untrue, and it also, by the way, distracts attention from the coke stuff. It's like,
is that better or worse?
I think it's Vicky saying, here's a bigger, crazier lie that will distract you guys from that earlier crazy lie, and she thinks that that will somehow be helpful or beneficial. I mean,
they're still talking about it. I saw them, they were on a press tour. I don't know where they were. I want to say like Build AOL or some shit. Like some random maybe.
They were on Jerry together.
Oh, Jerry.
They were on
Jerry.
The Jerry O'Connell.
And they kept talking about trains. And I was like, shut up. Like, let it go.
Yeah. And allegedly, well, not even allegedly, we know this happened. Shannon and Tamara are at odds with Kelly. And I wonder if it's because Kelly can't get over the fact that they didn't tell her off camera.
Yeah. What did Kelly
what
do?
Was being said? Like, I would think that whatever Kelly does to them, it's probably rooted in the anger and hurt that she feels that her genuine friends or people that she thought were her genuine friends didn't let her in on this. I also, you know, Shannon is the love of my life.
Yeah, that's your favorite housewife of all time.
I am Shannon Bedore. I love her. I love her because I understand her.
Yes.
I love when she laughs. It makes me so happy when she has like her fun little mom jokes. I love that she wears Spanx under jeans.
Like, I love Archie.
I love Archie. I have a fish named Archie Bedore Galley. He's in my room right now because the living room is too hot and I want to make sure he's, you know, he stays cool, calm, and collected.
Yes.
Much like the Labradoodle or Labrador, whatever. I love Shannon. I don't think that the Trace Amigas brings out the best in her.
It's the worst color on her.
And Kelly would probably have been the best. I think that if she had just told Kelly, it would have been a better situation, certainly with her friendship with Kelly and also how viewers see her.
Yeah, I wouldn't hitch my ship to that. To, I don't know what it is. I wouldn't
wagon.
Yeah, because it's like, what if Vicky just got friend of? What if Tamara gets friend of? Then, you know, they could all go down together. But Shannon stands alone.
Yeah, and she feels maybe more comfortable with those two women. It amazes me that on the press tour that's happening, you know, while these episodes air, that Shannon and these women seem closer than ever.
They do.
And if I was Shannon, I would watch that episode and be like, man, Tamara is really trying to put the blame on me and not take any responsibility for herself. And that would make me look at her in a different way. I think Tamara was reacting. You know, it was interesting to me that Shannon's reactions to like Emily being sad and just like crying and to Gina were not the most sympathetic and empathetic, considering how Shannon has behaved on camera and considering that Tamara once triggered her at Lizzie's like beachside dinner party when Shannon lost her mind against Heather Dubrow. It's interesting to me that Shannon doesn't look at that and be like, man, they're not in any way reacting as crazily as I did on camera, but gosh, I feel bad for them because I know what being in a dark place with my husband does. And, you know, Shannon's response is like, well, Emily's not letting us in on her marital problem, so I don't feel as much sympathy for her. But it's like, if you see the signs that all is not well and the call for help is coming from inside the house, why not just like try to, you know, you don't have to be your best friend. I know that they're at odds, but like maybe externally look like you're showing a little bit of empathy.
Totally. I would argue this is the exact same situation with Lisa Vanderpump.
In what way?
In that it's just like, I'll have sympathy for this person who's just going through it.
Yeah, I have a satchel of gold from Allison in DC. Kelly brings out the best, silliest Shannon, and Tamara and Vicky bring out the meanest, most bitter version of her.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Right?
I love Kelly.
I think I was... I used to hate Kelly. I was screaming. She was the devil. For her first season, I would scream at Damien. I would be like, she needs to be off the show. This is terrorism. This is like inappropriate. This is violent. This is awful. And then I'm like now obsessed with her.
Yeah, because she has a good personality. She's just hurt.
She's hurt and she always reacts and responds at the worst possible people who aren't really to blame. She did it with MKE, with Megan King Edmonds and like...
Oh yeah, when she was like, Jimmy's cheating. But he was cheating.
I mean, oh, you know what's interesting? I wonder if the emotional affair that he had with that bitch or whomever was the same woman
that Kelly that
inspired those rumors.
I don't know.
Fascinating.
I have no idea. That's wild. That's honestly the way that MKE handled that.
Oh my God.
The reversal of it all. I was like, I'm getting whiplash.
Yeah. So I have a longer satchel from Callum in London that I want to get your thoughts on.
Okay.
Okay. Shout out to Callum. Cheerio. Okay. Longtime listener who absolutely loves how analytical you and all the iconic guests. You're iconic.
Thank you.
Get on Andy's Girls. Keep doing your amazing work. I couldn't contain my OC thoughts in a satchel. Oh, he means like in an Insta story. Callum's, that's a man, right? Is that a woman's name? Whatever.
Just say they.
They. So they mean Insta story. I couldn't contain my OC thoughts in a satchel Insta story, so here goes. I know that a large majority feel that the show is tired now and there's nothing of interest going on, which I totally understand. But for me, out of all the franchises, OC has always been a look at some of the grossest, darkest points of humanity. And even though Vicky and Tamara are absolutely vile, I'm yet to be fed up with watching their sociopathy guys, I can't talk today, unfold on my TV. Tamra strategizes like no other, and I find it fascinating seeing the way that she actively navigates and produces scenes. I totally understand that this is exactly what infuriates a lot of people about her, but I'm genuinely interested seeing the way she continues to play the game to manipulate her position with the other women and on the show itself. Also, Vicky is definitely a demon unleashed from the ninth circle of hell. Wow. And I can't look away because there's legitimately nowhere else at this level of narcissistic sociopathy. Guys, I can't talk. It's documented on film. That went on for much longer than I expected, but I suffer from having friends who aren't Housewife fans, so I have a lot of unexpressed thoughts. Anyway, thanks so much for being legendary and hope you feel better. Trademark Jill Zarin. First off, Callum, drop all of your friends.
Break up with your friends.
And I'm find bored. Some who watch Bravo. Z-Way, mm-hmm. Your thoughts.
I think that OC. So I think that the cancer storyline in OC is one of the best reality storylines of all time.
Chef's kiss.
You know what I mean? I think it really does encapsulate the darkness and like the willing to like. I couldn't write the idea that someone faked cancer. So to see that in reality, it was beautiful. I don't know if we're there. I think that we peaked at Cancer Gate and we're chasing that high. Mm. But I think that that's a huge place to peak. It's one of the best moments I've ever seen. So I agree. Like, I do think the OC is really dark. I really haven't seen. And watching Shannon's marriage also really dark. So I agree. I'm not as excited about it because what I like about the other shows is that you see what's going on in their... These people are public figures. So to see their lives play out in the press and then to bounce back onto the show, I feel is more realistic. I feel like that's truer, right? Like a mistake you make as a reality TV star will inevitably end up in the Daily Mail, which will become a storyline on your show.
It's so interesting.
I love that reality because I feel like this is real. In OC, we're getting like, and she texted me a pig emoji of her recalling, you know, call me a pig, which I think is like dark and gross. And it's like, wow, this is really scary. But I don't find that it's playing on the same plane. Does that make sense?
You don't think the pig and emoji is as funny?
It's not about being funny. To me, it's about like, I don't feel like they're really revealing at all, I guess. I don't feel like it's, I think it's really produced.
You think it's really produced by the women themselves?
Yeah.
And that it's feeding the beast because they then go off to the tabloids or tweet something as Emily did, you know, which led to Shannon being pissed at her. That feeds into the show.
I don't find that it feeds into the show as well. Like, it's not like we have a headline like fucking Bethany has a court date with Jason Hoppy. Like, right. that's like high status, like high stakes drama.
Right.
OC's drama. I mean, calling her a cokehead, that is high stakes, high. I guess I just don't. It doesn't translate as well for me. Or maybe it's like OC is about the interpersonal because we see how it affects Jolie. We don't see the headlines and the pull screens grabbed onto the show. Like, that's not part of the production. I don't know what I'm saying. Let's cut all of this. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out why. I don't like OC. I guess I don't love OC because OC and Beverly Hills to me, and they're produced by the same companies, suffer from like stakes.
Low stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also think that there's not organic chemistry, at least on OC. Like, Gina and Emily feel so separate and so sad. And then Shannon and Vicky and Tamra are pretending they're like 37 and a half and are just like pretending to dance and whatever. And it's so manufactured for the cameras, but also they've decided to be so united for the cameras. And that kind of break between the two camps is so huge and so inorganic. It doesn't feed the purposes of the show. Just to take a step into what you said about Cancer Gate, one of the best, hardest Watch What Happens to sit through, like, fucking fantastic when it came out, and I don't think I could ever watch it again, is when Brooks went on Watch What Happens and had his own special episode where he's so obviously lying.
So obviously lying.
That it's like hilarious. Like, I wonder what was going on in Andy's head, like, while he was like talking to Brooks, because it was just watching Brooks implode. It made no sense. It was awful. But it was also such a highlight because you're watching somebody who manipulated everybody in the worst possible way by evoking a terrible,
the lowest terminal, of the low,
the truly. Lowest of the low, and then working in tandem with your partner on and off screen to try to continue and prolong this and then pin it on somebody else. I mean, that is magical television.
Yeah, I thought it was absolutely genius. So it's not that I don't like OC or, and I don't like Beverly Hills, because the limo moment was also brilliant. I'm just like, I guess that I have a high standard.
Which limo
for
moment?
It. The limo moment with
You Stole My Goddamn House?
Yes.
Oh, okay, got it.
Like, I just have high standards for them because they gave us such darkness. I'm like, let's go back there.
I mean, the darkest moment to me on the show, and also one of the most sorry dynamic, was not to me when Taylor was like hiding in a suitcase in Aspen, because I thought that was really sad. It was when, you know, it was LVP's tea party or whatever, and Camille brings up what we now know Lisa told her to say to bring up on camera.
Dark.
Which is, we know that your husband hits you, and like, what the fuck are you talking about? Which we're talking about going on a G6 or whatever the fuck the private plane was, and like, it doesn't make sense. What you're telling us on camera is so diametrically opposed to what you're telling us off camera that we need to make these two make sense. Yeah. I mean, that was a crazy high stake. I don't know if there have been higher stakes aside from people's like addictions than that moment.
I mean,
and it was great television. I'm sorry. Like, it was great TV.
And he went on to kill himself. In and between seasons.
And there's the conversation that a lot of people have had in the Bravo sphere that has not come up on the show, which is that Taylor is not this like completely normal, innocent person. She changed her name several times.
Wait, what?
Her original name
is Taylor Armstrong?
Yeah, her original name is like Shayna Ford or whatever.
Wait, shut up. What are you talking about?
Julie Klausner has done huge investigatory pieces.
Say what?
That she's a grifter, that she used to manipulate people. She once said that, what was her fake last name? I want to say it was Ford, and she used to tell people that she was related to the Fords, and she has pretended to be a different person and may have been involved at some point in her husband's financial business misdeeds, and that was never brought up on the show, and there are genuine legal documents. I mean, the sadness,
you have to send this to me. I've
oh
never
my god
heard,
AG
I have
listeners,
never heard of this.
Do yourself a little Google. Yeah, it's that is one of those examples. I think because this happened way too long ago when people weren't doing that kind of stuff on camera,
but we did
where
it on
just stay
Daniel
off.
Staub. She's like the Daniel Staub, is what you're saying, of Beverly Hills.
It wasn't perhaps as obvious to the women who weren't trying to bury her as Daniel Staub's enemies did. That's a great example. As Daniel Staub's enemies did on Jersey, where they were like, we know this. It was written about. It was in a book. Here you go. The Bravo sphere online has said a lot about Taylor, but none of her cast members ever have. And I think it was because either they didn't know, this all came up in a way that these women didn't know about, or just genuinely didn't care about, and they chose to be ignorant.
That's the hard part. I mean, we saw that with, just to jump to Dorit,
please,
and them not talking about her being harassed in the Bahamas.
Yeah, and them saying like, we don't need to know about her financial stuff because we're friends. And it's like, sweetie, A, if you were friends, you would be asking her this information. I thought what Camille did at that dinner was exactly right, which is like, you shouldn't be talking. I mean, like,
what Camille did at that dinner was exactly right.
Yeah, for the show. Are you kidding?
It was right for the show. Yes.
Yeah. Bring that shit up. Like, you can't say like, we want to protect her because she's our
mention
friend.
It all.
I mean, yes, hashtag mention it all, hashtag this is a crisis that you're not bringing this shit up. So like, please fucking do.
So that's what Beverly Hills, so that's okay, we've gotten back to our central point. That's my issue with Beverly Hills and OC, and we all of the housewives do it, where they don't bring up things that are like pretty bad, but we see it the most with Beverly Hills and OC, when the facts are the facts are the facts, and we see it right in front of us in plain sight, where they just won't break up a story to protect each other, which is great camaraderie, but it is not entertaining.
And no one is serving, that's exactly right, and nobody is serving as the voice of the audience. And that is why the trailer for next week of Potomac is so fucking good because it shows Karen saying what I think 80% of the audience thinks, which is, I don't believe that your husband is innocent, and the fact that there was no consent is fucked. And she says it in the teaser. The teaser for next week is some fucking blowdown. Ashley's face and eyes actually explode on camera. She's so pissed at Karen. And
she is pissed.
Appreciative for the fact that, you know, Giselle has joked about it. Other women have joked about it. Robin's been freaked out because we all know the sucking cock is about Juan. But Karen is speaking for the audience with a genuine situation that involves production. It involves happening in real time press tabloid rumors. It involves for a period of time the legal system. And it involves these women on camera, which is, there's some fuckery that's going down. And I do not believe your story. And here's why. Yeah. And it's going to be fucking terrific television.
Let's talk about Potomac. I totally am so excited for this episode as well. I think that Karen Huger is a gift.
Karen Huger is such a fucking gift because she's outside of herself, bonkers bananas. And P.S. I'm going to buy her fragrance the day it goes on sale. It's probably going to be like $600. Yeah, and I'm just going to ask for a sample. And God bless America. She is so insane in so many ways. The Virginia House, the charity for Alzheimer's, with not telling us how much was raised.
Icon hair. Oh, when they confronted. Oh my gosh. Yeah, gives us iconic moments after even iconic. The press conference.
Iconic.
And being Matt. the housewife. Oh, Matt. I don't follow him, but I shadow follow him, and I just like stalk him on Instagram. He hangs out with all the housewives
because he's like a hanger on. That's they all have their entourages, and he is like in several. But the fact that she has all of these bonker moments, and yet she is also the one, and I'm sure it's because she's a survivor of sexual assault. She understands how important this conversation is and how it shouldn't be fucked with, and how Ashley's narrative about this is completely incorrect and inappropriate. She takes her on. She takes her on in a way that's like, yeah, fuck you. Yeah. I understand in a way that you do not the damage that's being done by you guys saying because he was exonerated, which he wasn't, but because the court said we don't have enough evidence to use in court, we're not able to bring the case. That does not mean he's innocent in what happens, and his record of behavior supports this.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely wild. The way that Ashley has managed to spin the story is honestly like God levels of like PR. She's really managed to come off relatively scot-free considering the severity of these accusations. Like when I saw those headlines a year ago I was like, this is absolutely shocking. Like Ashley is, you know, the chickens have come home to roost. This woman is finally going to be persecuted in a way that she has been persecuting others for much lesser transgression rumors. So it's absolutely wild. She's like a Luann. She's a Luann.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't think that about her. I thought she was like a Portia, but she's a Luann.
Because you think she's delusional?
Yes.
Here's the thing, though. I just have to say, I don't think that, just thinking about it, I really don't think Ashley believes her own bullshit. I think she's forcing herself to because she wants to have that motherfucking baby because she wants to have Michael Jr. That child looks exactly like him. It is terrifying. But I don't, in the bottom of my soul, bottom, top, middle, whatever, I genuinely think she knows.
But if she knows, then what's worse?
Oh, it's so much worse that I think her gut is telling her beep, 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 something is not right.
Red flag.
And she's just ignoring it. And she's going straight into like, let's pretend that everything is great. Let me lick whipped cream off your chest. Let's talk about how often we're fucking. Let's have that baby. I love you so much.
But is that not absolutely wild?
It's absolutely wild.
Yeah. That's Luann, though, marrying Tom.
Even though she, exactly right. That is Luann marrying Tom and being like, I love him. He's my husband. That's a great, thank you so much. That is a great comparison that I hadn't thought of until this very moment. That is a great comparison because Lou knew, but she didn't want the other women to be right.
Exactly.
And her devotion to trying to prove these women wrong, or trying to prove that she would do whatever the fuck she wants to do, regardless of how right it is,
yeah,
is very, very similar to how Ashley is behaving now, with one exception that I don't remember Lou in that moment trying to attack, because Luann was sort of like the weak person at that point. Like weak, I mean that in a, like just vulnerable.
Yeah, she was in a position of like. Yeah.
Right. Like Katie is in a very vulnerable position and Ashley's trying to use that against her by calling her weak. Yeah. And what Ashley is doing is trying to pull the attention away from the vulnerability of her marriage and use anger that she has against Michael and use that as a weapon to genuinely wound Katie because she doesn't want to take on the other women that she knows are talking shit about her marriage and her man. So she is
totally
targeting the most vulnerable person while also calling out their vulnerability as weakness.
And that's why Karen says so aptly, I'm not Katie. You can't talk to me any old way. I know your husband's wrong.
Boom.
Maybe not verbatim, but that was the general consensus.
Also,
I like her again. I like Ashley versus Karen in this scenario because Karen's getting her just desserts. Like, yeah, because Ashley was so cruel about Ray's money issues. And Michael was so cruel. Do you need money to borrow? That was so cruel. Going into their house and being like, this looks like a sham. That's so mean. And so Karen has the moral high ground for once. And so that's why she's able to clap at Ashley in a way that really damages, really hits her under the skin.
And Candace is watching all of this and being like, fuck yes, no matter how I behaved, I am watching someone that I despise go down and the other women turn on her based on her behavior. And it, while no one will forget the night with the butter knife and that, you know, delicious risotto,
iconic
moment, I think that Candace is like, this almost proves me right. While I didn't react or respond in a way that was appropriate, it is showing people that there is something fishy here.
No, Karen. What's her
Candace?
Name? Candace had a point, but she just played it so wrong.
Because she was so gleeful, you think?
Well, I don't even think the glee was the issue, because there is something really funny about watching someone being like, ooh, your man sucks. Like, but I think her saying that Ashley drinking means that she wasn't trying to get
pregnant. That was completely inappropriate.
I was just like, what? Like, she really dug herself into a hole with
she
that.
Did, but now she's trying to get out of the hole by being like, see, I told you their marriage isn't great. That's what I meant. Forget about the drinking. Exactly. Because he's a predator. That's exactly what I meant.
It's like, you can't have it both ways, honey.
She's drinking a predator martini over there, and that's what we're
exactly. So that's so that's why I'm like, that was really a reach. But I follow Candace. Candace and I follow each other. So So I'll
on what? Everything?
On just on Twitter. And I'll DM
her. Yeah, your Twitter, by the way, is phenomenal.
Thank you. But I'll DM her and be like, Candace, what's going on? You know, whatever. I really want her to do a pop show.
Wait, has she responded?
Yeah, we've talked. Wait. I want her to do a pop show.
Z-Way.
I know. She should do a pop show. Shouldn't she do a pop show?
She absolutely should, but hold on one second.
But would there be drama at the pop show?
I mean, you're not going to have Ashley there following her singing Coffee and Bagels or whatever the fuck. With her brother.
Yeah, you're right. But imagine if I invited both.
I would love to see that duet.
The show would not be about me.
I mean, you would be the person that brought them together on a stage. So I think it would be all about you in the best possible
way. I'm doing a Black History Month Bell House pop show. Maybe I should ask them. I'll think about it.
Please do. But wait,
listeners, please tell me your advice.
Listeners, please reach out and let us know. But wait, so what have you said to Candace and what has she responded with?
I won't talk too much about it, but I'll just be like, hi, how's it going? Come to my show. I'll be like, oh, you were great this season. Or, oh, that's wild. I can't believe that happened. You know, reactions.
Have you said, I can't believe that happened specific to Michael assaulting that cameraman?
No.
Orville or whatever?
No. I think to me that conversation is just tough.
Too crazy.
It's tough. It's just tough because it's honestly this is at the expense of someone who was humiliated at work.
Yeah, that's the shitty thing. And
he left. He left that job.
Yeah, he quit. He quit the next day, I want to say.
I hope he got comp or something. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
I don't know either. So that's I don't want to get into that.
Yeah, save that for Andy, right? You don't have to be the one asking the questions. You can just be responding to
save that for Andy. I thought you meant, what would I ask Andy?
No, let Andy be the one to take ask one the hard for the questions. Team. Yeah, and then you can just respond.
But maybe, who knows? I mean, if I should have her at Pop Show, let me know what you guys think.
Oh my God, I would fucking... Who would you rather have, Candace or Ashley?
I asked Candace because Candace, I love that she's so musical. She's always singing.
She is. She really... It really comes to her naturally versus Ashley's like, this seems cool. Yeah. Like Melissa Gorga style. You know what
I
saying?
Like Melissa Gorga. I would love to have Melissa Gorga. I asked Melissa Gorga and she was like, I'm not making new music, but if I do, let me know.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, but so she said... I saw her at Erika Jane's concert.
Oh.
Yeah, I was in VIP. Next to me, Melissa Gorga, and she's actually a really supportive friend because like she could feel our energy like waning for Erica, like, you know, in the middle of the 45-minute show.
Oh my God.
And she would just like dance on us and be like, woo, yes. And like get us excited. So I like her,
but I think musically Melissa Gorga did it as like sort of a hobby, like her husband built her a studio and mazel to that, versus like Erika Jane, who is a performer, you know, whether or not it's enough performance for 45 minutes is a question, but like Erika Jane comes to it naturally. I would say Candace comes to it more naturally, though not on an Erika Jane level, than like Ashley, who to me seems similar in her musical journey to Melissa. I think Melissa's much, much more successful at it.
But Ashley Darby, who performed at Pride.
Yeah,
who sang a love song with her brother.
The choice of Pride, by the way.
Tough, some
rough, tough stuff. That was a look with a large silent
her
W.
Her outfit was...
makeup. Yeah, what was the outfit? I don't
remember. It was half like chiffon and frills, like rainbow. Oh, gosh. And then it was half like leather. It looked wild.
They have such terrible style.
Yeah, I think Potomac has the worst style. I think of Potomac, I think that Candace and Karen Huger have the best style, but I think it's a low bar. And Robin. Those are top tier. Giselle, it's bottom hard. Tier. Katie's bottom tier. Ashley's bottom tier.
They all have bad look. What do you think of Katie's wigs?
Terrible.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, but I think that's iconic. I actually am sad that she's leaving the show. I think that she's a brilliant addition and she should be full time. I understand that she's like fragile, but she has been giving us gold. When she says deadpan, thanks for coming. Thanks. Like, it was so nice having you. That at the barn, whatever. Yeah. She's just like, she's great.
I think it's because she has nothing to lose because she's dealing with so much real serious stuff, which P.S. was sort of only brought up almost like on background this week, like as reasoning, but nobody's gotten explicit about exactly what's going on. And I assume that's because Bravo is so concerned about liability with her ex-husband that they don't want to get specific.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. Or maybe she can't talk because it's like a custody thing. And she, you know,
she's representing herself in court.
She is?
Yeah.
Shut up.
She's representing. Yeah.
Where'd you see that?
She did a 27 minute interview with a guy last week that's on YouTube. And I watched the whole thing.
Wow. I did see that, but I did not click it because I value my time.
I do not.
But
welcome to Andy's Girl.
That's wild. I can't believe she's doing that. Oh, that makes me so sad.
It's not great, but also I wish the best for her.
I pray for her.
I don't pray, but if I did, it would be for her. And next week's it's not funny, but like Katie going missing and like production not knowing where the fuck she was.
What a production security figured it out.
Well, but then they were like, we found her yesterday, which
I know, it's alarming.
How much time went by? Where was she?
At least 12 hours. That's so alarming.
Was it because maybe she took a pregnancy test and she's like, I need to walk this off. And then they found her in a different country. Like,
I don't know. I get worried for her. I hope she's okay.
I mean, she's obviously not.
Yeah, she's not okay.
But I appreciate her services to Potomac this season because...
I know, she's given us so much. She's made this season all-star.
Without having a confessional, right? I know.
Yeah, she hasn't.
And why is that? Is that because the shit with the Insta photo maybe happened after...
What Insta photo?
Remember where she posted that Insta photo in #MeToo? It was her bleeding on the floor and Jacob took it and she said she was having a miscarriage. And it looked like she had been physically assaulted. And
oh, I don't know. I think maybe it was because she's a friend of maybe.
No friends of can do confessionals.
But she did. Does she appear in the rest of the season or no?
I think so. I mean, let's see why she left. I mean, it was interesting to me watching this week because it felt to me a little bit like Ashley thought she was on Scary Island and was talking to like Kelly Killoran, where she felt like somebody was coming at her. And even though she knew she was weak, she had no choice but to explode. But it's like, no, this is actually not Kelly. And Katie has done nothing wrong to you. And if you want to look at anyone else at the table, you probably should at this moment.
I know the flashbacks where they're like going around in the circle and talking about seeing all the women like make fun of Michael.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like damning.
It's damning, and also it's so interesting to me that Ashley has doubled down in real time against Katie like, are you not watching what we're watching on TV? Like, do your like rose-colored glasses?
Do you think Ashley
are they that thick?
Do you think Ashley comes off well this season?
I understand why she doesn't.
But what do you think?
I think she doesn't, but I understand why she doesn't. I myself am like, why would you stand by your man? But A, I've never been married. B, I've never been on a reality show like this before or ever before. C, I have never felt the urge to have a child or have one so desperately that I would do anything and use potential assault allegations and like put that in my back pocket for a rainy day.
Damn. You think that she like lords it over Michael?
I don't think that she lords it over him. I think she genuinely, and this is in no way a critique of her, I myself have not had like a passionate interest in having a kid, but I absolutely respect other people that do. I think that Ashley is so desperate, and I do not mean that again in any kind of derogatory way. I think she is quite literally desperate to have a child, that she will do anything to have that child, and she wants to have it with the guy that she's currently married to.
And do you think she wants to have a child or she wants to have Michael's child because of his inheritance or whatever?
Because of the prenup. I mean, like, I wonder, just out of curiosity, I wonder how much more money that gets her to have his kid.
How rich can Michael be?
He's apparently does very well in real estate, but I don't know. You know, real estate's interesting because you can have a high net worth, but a lot of that isn't cash. It's like tied up in your business. But I think he does very well. And I think that Ashley really, really wants to have a kid in the same way, although with a lower number, than Bronwyn on OC. They both had unconventional childhoods. Ashley has been disinherited from her father's heart and soul since the moment she was born. I think Ashley wants to correct her childhood by providing security and just overwhelming love to a baby. And Bronwyn has 1,700 children because she had a very unstable childhood, and she wants to feel like the protector because she probably didn't have that kind of emotional security when she was young. And they're sort of similar in that way, but Bronwyn's trying to, you know, break a record, and Ashley's just trying to like push it out and hold it and love it.
Do you like Bronwyn?
I think I like her. I don't die for her, but I think it would be hard to die for anybody in that environment. I didn't love the moment where she completely backtracked from the week before when she wedged her head very far up Victoria's ass at dinner and was like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I don't feel anything strongly about her, but what I do feel is positive in the sense that like, yeah, I like her. I think she will have some great moments.
Do you like Ashley?
Darby?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, love her.
Love her.
She's great. She's
all-time great.
I think she is one of the best on Potomac. I don't know that when I look at Giselle, for example, I think like all-time great. Like,
all-time
greatest. Greatest of all time.
Karen Huger, I think, is an all-time great.
I would more agree with you about Karen than Ashley, but I think Ashley is fantastic. Yeah. I just don't, like, for the record books, she's great. She's great. I love her. I respect her game. I love the shit stirring that she's done. I think that's so incredibly impactful. I don't know that I would put her in like the top 10. There's something about Giselle that just like gives me everything that I need.
Fair.
But I love and appreciate and respect Ashley's game. Tell me.
Do you think that her visiting her dad was manipulative towards the audience?
I would put it in the same bucket as Kenya and her mom, where there is a true anger, hurt, feelings of anger, hurt, and sadness about something very dark and really genuinely unfair that they went through as a child and still as an adult, because you are still an adult child, even if you're like in your late 30s or whatever, or Ashley in her early 30s. Do I think it was manipulative of the audience? I think it was helpful that Ashley wanted to do this during a time in which a lot of focus was on her husband's misbehavior. Do I think it was
alleged crime?
Completely real crime. No alleged. We all know what happened. Do I think it was manipulative of the audience? No, because I saw through it, if that makes any sense. Like with Kenya too, like they're bringing a camera crew with them for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's not an accident that this is being shot on camera. Which is probably why Aunt Lori, was that Kenya's? Yeah, Lori's, Kenya's aunt was like, why did you do this? And I think what she meant was like, why did you do this on camera?
Yeah.
If I thought it was, God, that's such a good question. And I don't, if it was manipulative, I don't hold it against her.
Yeah, but I feel the same way.
Yeah, but it was manipulative.
I went into it being like, because you see the previews, you're like, oh my goodness, like here we go.
Yeah.
And then I watched the episode and I was like, this is honestly heartbreaking.
Because it is heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking.
She's
human.
She is human in the same way that with Keyonce, it opened up such compassion and empathy from me toward her that I didn't necessarily like have in the reserves. And with Ashley, I was like, this is genuinely sad.
Yeah.
If Ashley had told me about her childhood, that's one thing. But to show someone who is supposed to be a parent who refuse, here's the problem is that it's not even like, please apologize to me, Dad. It's like, just verify my existence. And
so
in
sad. Both
of these so cases, sad. These awful people won't do it. I cannot imagine being Kenya and going to family functions where your biological mother is there and have her not just confirm your existence. That fucks you up in such a way. I'm sure there's some difference like biologically as people between like a mom doing it and a dad doing it as women. I think like for your mom to do it, it's probably an additional layer of fuckery. But I think when your dad does it, it's also just as bad because it's like, it's your dad. I mean, no matter what, there's something to be said for being abandoned physically as a child, but having someone who denies your existence as a member of like their DNA or whatever is,
it's beyond.
It's beyond. So I have no choice but to empathize. But do I think there's a reason there's a camera crew there and that they're choosing to do this as a part of their storyline? Yeah. But do I blame them for that? No. And do I feel any empathy toward the parent in that situation? Gotta tell you, I don't.
You don't.
I don't, because I feel like, you know, they didn't shoot. Obviously, they knew that there was a camera crew on that person's lawn. But you know what? That person should feel some shame.
They should feel shame.
They should feel shame. The interesting thing to me, I went through this with a former friend who misbehaved in such a god-awful way that everybody in our, toward me, that everybody in our circle and their partner admitted it was like completely inappropriate behavior. And I empathized after the moment, while I still felt anger, I empathized because I knew that they weren't in a good place. And their reaction to it was interesting because knowing that they had misbehaved, that person felt so much shame that it transferred to anger against me because they knew that I was a witness to something that was a really dark moment in their life. So they felt a lot of anger to me because they knew that I was a witness. And I wonder how much that shame manifesting into anger has happened with both of those parents who have alienated, you know, from their kids.
Damn.
Because I think...
But he has kids too. That's the sad part.
Yeah. But for whatever reason... Who knows why he and Kenya's mom have both decided to seemingly have anger toward children who are innocent in this context, which predates them showing up with the camera crew.
Yeah, that's true. Interesting. That's so tragic. Wow. Potomac is so that's depth. Potomac has depth. We're not really reaching those depths in OC.
You're totally right. And
we just talked about like the alienation of parent.
Yeah. And the depths that we're getting, it's just like I it's hard for me to feel empathy. I don't in any way dislike Gina. I think it's dark. I just don't feel connection to it because I never saw her husband on camera. I never saw a relationship. So I don't feel the kind of feelings deep in my soul that I felt with Shannon and David when they were going through it, because we saw it play out. Yeah. And with Emily, you know, there's a scene.
Oh, that's sad.
There's a scene for next week. Did you watch it? It was a clip that circulated online. It's about 2 minutes. We're going to see it on next week's episode. Of Shane and Emily talking. Emily is quite obviously in a lot of pain. Shane is not a naturally funny person, and I think he gets embarrassed talking about emotions, and he's also a dick. So when producers are like, did you miss your wife? And he starts laughing, and he's like, should I be honest?
Yeah.
It's because he's uncomfortable talking about this on camera. He's also an asshole, and he doesn't understand that his wife is in pain, and he should be trying to help her.
Yeah, that seems doomed.
I mean, they have to be getting a divorce, right?
They haven't announced it yet.
Someone, a listener sent me an Insta story satchel that was like, I can't wait to see Emily announce her divorce on the reunion.
Oh my God. Because
that's what Shannon did. I mean, I don't see a way out of this for them. I don't see them renewing their vows a la Shannon and David and then getting divorced 45 minutes later. Or like Vicky and Don. I think that Emily has a different expectation for a partner than Shane does.
Yeah.
I think Shane's probably going through it, taking a test he doesn't want to because mommy really thinks he should.
Yeah.
And I think he's really closed off and cold. And I think he's a genuine, unwilling participant in this show. And he has a lot of concern and embarrassment about being on the show.
Yeah, he really does. Which is like, why are you doing this?
Why are you doing this? One would think it would be to support his partner. But I honestly wonder if he just doesn't care enough that he's like, do whatever.
Yeah. Or I'll just not be around or whatever.
Or I'll just not be around. But when he is around, man, he is... gross. It's like I said this on last week, it's like his soul lives on the outside of his body, and that's why he's so repelling to me physically, because he just is not great. That's the nicest thing I can say. I don't think he's the worst husband. I mean, obviously we talked about Russell. You can do worse. But I think that I don't know that he's emotionally abusive. I think the abuse, which is the wrong term, I think the disconnect comes from his own emotional detachment. Like Emily, if we're going to talk about using shit on camera, do we think that in ordinary day-to-day life Emily would be like, hey, our anniversary is coming up, let me perform in a burlesque show, which is the most generous way of putting it, in a Vegas review for a man who gets angry at women for swearing? Like, he seems very, very conservative, both socially, emotionally, personality wise. He's very cold, very shut down, and I don't know how much of that is him IRL and how much of that is like he genuinely is allergic to this show and the production aspects of it. But fuck, man, she's crying out for pain and he's like, I don't see tears, make my dinner.
Yeah, that was tough.
Do you feel, what do you feel? Like, do you feel something for them? Like, do you feel empathy? Right?
No, I actually like watching them because I find them to be, I'm just like, wow, this is a train wreck in slow motion.
It's an actual train wreck and not 9 people having sex with each other.
Exactly.
If only, by the way.
Yes. But I'm more actually excited in OC about Shannon at all times and Bronwyn. And Kelly.
Yeah.
Those are the people who I care about.
What do you think about Bronwyn?
I think that she is honest enough.
Right?
Yeah. Well, she's honest for a newbie. She's like, she infiltrated herself into the group really seamlessly.
Right.
Usually they have to put up a fight like with Lizzie Rozek, who I actually really liked, Lizzie. But Bronwyn just like really seamlessly got into the groove of it all. And she honors her alliances. So for that, I think she's fascinating. I like the fact that she's like, yeah, me and my husband like pretty much almost got a divorce because he was never around. But now we're in love and I love my kids. So I think that like the family values of it all, I'm interested in that.
I liked her Sharp Objects Junior moment where she was like, I almost like when my kids get sick so I can mother them. I was like, how Patricia Clarkson of you, know, but like so you're not actually poisoning them. So kudos. Oh, spoiler alert, by the way.
Oh, I did not finish Sharp Objects. But I do love Amy Adams.
Patricia's great. Nothing happens.
Let's talk about Southern Charm.
So I watched Southern Charm, the reunion part two in the ICU, and I watched,
oh shit.
Yeah. Cause I was, you know, in the hospital, and I watched it twice, but I was texting with people. So I didn't give it like 100% focus, but it aired. And then I think it aired again in a row, I want to say, or at some point I watched a little bit of the US Open. But my God, Shep Rose, like,
what a fall.
Or was he always on the ground?
He was always on the ground.
We were too busy stomping on Thomas to realize that Shep was also like the devil.
Exactly.
His seeming excuses of
his elitism, his lack of knowing about etiquette when he decries himself as like this etiquette chief.
And then
Andy mentions, mm-hmm. yeah.
Andy mentions
the New York society,
yeah. And yeah. He's like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, it's like, well, how great could you possibly be? You're not kind. You're not the only thing that Shep has is money, and like you said,
and it's his parents. It's not his
parents' money. He didn't do anything.
He didn't do jack
but
shit.
But I mean, did his parents do anything, or was it like slavery money?
I think it's like old money.
It's old money, yeah, because he has that state dog named after him. But you're right, the only difference between Shep and what's his name is Thomas. A bridge. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And
that's what you said.
I mean,
I'm quoting you.
Exactly right. Thank you so much. I love the moment. There were a couple moments that I loved. I loved Shep being like, listen, was I bad to behave that way? But they made me, which is like, cool. Way to blame the victim.
And he called her white trash. He doubled down on calling her white trash.
Shep is the greatest, most important example of white trash that I've ever seen on screen ever, and that is a term that should be stamped on his forehead, or you know, whomever actually brings out his trash, because he probably has an associate for that. I think that Shep saying I'm not that bad, look at my friends in Palm Beach, can you get more elitist than that line? Are you kidding?
There are plenty of
me?
Elitists who are very, very wealthy who act nothing like Shep.
Because they have grace and manners.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, if you really are a bad bitch and about that elitist life, what are you doing on a reality show? Like, you should be more private than that.
Well, he did so well on a reality show that he got a fucking spinoff.
I know.
It's just he has gotten older and drunker and meaner, and he cannot pretend to be the labradoodle that Andy anointed him to be, like Sheppy, rest in peace.
I know.
Because we're now seeing the real Shep Rose, and the only thing cute about him is the fucking dog that has more in common with its namesake Craig than it does its new daddy.
I know. Craig came out looking really much better.
Craig did great.
Yeah, Craig did much better than all of his other compatriots. I thought Cameron didn't do great.
A lot of people are saying that. And honestly, to be super honest, I wasn't super paying attention to what she was saying. But a lot of people said it was like dismissive, I want to say. Or she was
I guess it's
rude
really,
or something.
It's really hard. Yes. I guess it's really hard for her to be like to defend Shep and be like, yeah, my husband tells me to shut the fuck up and I shut the fuck up. Although I respect that every marriage is different and what works for you works for you.
Yeah.
Like, I can't judge. I don't think that that's the best look.
I agree with you. I don't love the moments where people are trying to bury Catherine. I think you should be making up for the seasons in which she was really, really gaslit and bullied as a result, and should just stay the fuck away from Catherine. I don't think Austin.
What do you think about the drinking of it all?
I think that she says she was addicted to pot and nothing else, but I think she had a lot going on in her life, and she was using a lot of different things to try to comfort herself. I think it's interesting that she's like announcing that she's holding a glass of water at the end and not a martini. But then earlier in the reunion cycle, she was talking about the fact that she feels comfortable drinking.
It's a lot, right?
It's a lot. I am cautious about talking in any way about like her sobriety in a different way than I am with Luann, because it seems like obvious to me that like it's kind of like bullshit with Luann.
You know that I actually never saw that from Luann. I kind of my problem
well,
is that
everybody on New York has a drinking problem.
Well, I also just take people at their word. I'm like, if she says she's not drinking, I'm like, whatever.
Well, I've just heard from people that they're like, she's drinking.
Yeah, but so that's what they're saying about Catherine.
Right. But with Catherine, it's like Catherine has never said that she's an alcoholic. Catherine said that she was in rehab for addiction. And my thing with it is like the people that I don't want anyone to say anything that Thomas can use as a weapon against her, because I think he's already done enough damage to wound her. So I err on the side of like, she's already dealing with enough. You guys have already fucked with her before, and it's sort of been proven that whether or not she had some addiction issues, the LART, that was like a reaction to the core issue, which was a deeply unhealthy relationship and then a custody battle and everything else. And so I err on the side of like, she's got enough that she has to deal with, and a lot
give
of that
best.
Right, and also she has to do drug tests constantly, and he has used that as a weapon against her.
Totally.
She talked about how bruised her arms were from like the constant like blood work that she had to do, and blood draws and hair draws or whatever, hair samples and whatever else. And I just think like, let's give her a pass. Like, it's, if you guys want to talk about whether or not she's sober, maybe don't have a pot dinner at a cast event in Colorado.
It's not ideal.
Like, you don't get both. You don't get to both say like, I don't believe you, and also let me try to tempt you with the thing that she says she was in rehab for.
Can I make a hot take that sounds much worse?
Oh, you're on the right
after
show.
What you said. No, but I actually agree with you. I do think that she deserves to have a pass. And I've actually always been Team Catherine. I always thought that like, I was so suspicious of this much older man with this woman just like playing with her. But I will say, I think Danny said this during the reunion, it's like, we're not allowed to talk about, we're not allowed to broach a lot of subjects with Catherine.
Yep.
And I don't think that a reality show is necessarily the best place to be if there there's a huge swath of your life you cannot share. But with that being said, that's her livelihood. That's the reason why she's able to defend herself in court, is because she has this job. But if you're on a show, you got to be honest.
Listen, a lot of people said that about Bethany, and Bethany's response was, I am on this show. There are other parts of me that you're seeing, but I really cannot talk about this because I'm in a fucking legal war with
Jason
Hoppy. Totally.
But I'm not asking her to talk about her legal troubles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, if they said, were you drinking on Watch What Happens Live?
Oh, I see you. I see what you're saying.
And you're saying no. And emphatically, people are saying, we literally saw you.
You seemed off.
You seemed off. I think there's, you have to... Or her saying, like, us talking about this is going to come up in court. It's like, yeah,
that's not their fault.
I don't think it's their fault necessarily. But I totally am sympathetic to Catherine. And I think that it's unfair that she's been through such an abusive relationship. And we've seen that from the fucking jump. But I think it's a hard position to be as someone who has to call truth to power.
And I think he is so emotionally abusive, and he continues to have that power over her. And the fact that she can't even do her job, which is talking about her life, without fear that it's going to affect the custody with battle and other legal concerns, it's an impossible situation. And he is just such a harmful person that it's unbelievable. And it's like one of the reasons why it's actually great that Shep has never done anything but fuck a woman. Like, he's never been in a real relationship, because can you imagine what that woman would go through as a result? But they didn't.
They dated.
Yeah, like, he took her to the like drive-through or drive-in.
They dated. This is like in the beginning of Southern Charm too, because Thomas was interested in dating Danny.
Oh God. Thank God she escaped.
Yeah, she escaped that. But yeah, so I mean, she's dealing with the repercussions of having dated Shep.
Yeah, I mean, do we think that he gave her gonorrhea or whatever? It wasn't gonorrhea. It was
chlamydia.
Thank you.
Do I think that he gave her? I don't think that Austin made this up. So maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. I think Shep, you know, it wasn't a miscommunication.
I think Shep's got a lot going on in his insides. Can you imagine? He fucks someone every day of the week.
Yeah. Shep makes me sad.
Shep makes me angry. And
he makes me. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, you go.
No, I guess like I really like Southern Charm.
Yeah, I love
because
it.
I liked it past tense. Because I love the like Southern gentility of it all. Mm-hmm. Like, we're dealing with like some deep rooted misogyny that mm-hmm. I think is really compelling.
Mm-hmm.
But watching Shep this season, I was like, oh, I'm complicit in like upholding these like misogynist, like rape culture, like kind of racist, have no black friends. I feel guilty watching Southern Charm in a way that I don't, even though the Housewives are no better. Like, we saw that with New York, half of them voted for whoever. But with Southern Charm, I really feel like, damn, the Southern oppression jumped out.
I'm nodding. And I think what annoyed me the most after Shep posted that video of him being incredibly inappropriate with a woman who is living with homelessness.
Yeah.
And then yelling and making fun of Southern Charm fans online who were like, please, this is awful. What annoyed me the most was that whether Bravo told them to or what, none of the cast members said anything. And it's like, if we're going to talk about holding people accountable, y'all should be having public conversations about how inappropriate this is, because you seem to have no issue doing that with other things. And Patricia, I think, is so great and so fucking rich and so... she's like chic as fuck. The fact that she dressed Madison and Madison looked like a fucking Hollywood superstar.
So she dressed Madison for the reunion?
Yeah, she like helped style her.
Madison is gorgeous.
Madison is unbelievably beautiful. But I was like...
Do you like Madison?
I enjoy her, whether or not I agree with her. I think she should absolutely be full time, especially yeah. because Eliza was absolutely not. but I think like with Patricia... she has no issue voicing her opinion on a ton of topics. But if we're going to talk about etiquette in class and just like basic humanity, why aren't any of you guys saying anything about this? Because it's crazy to me. Like Patricia, when Shep misquoted like Alice Roosevelt and he said it was Eleanor or whatever the fuck, Patricia tweeted and was like, it's actually Alice, yada, yada. And people were like, oh, that's so great and sassy. And like, you're right. But also, you know, where were you when that video went live? Because if we're going to talk about like what we should be correcting, let's talk about that homeless woman who was collecting bottles so that she could survive another day. And he was making fun of her cans. Like, yeah, come on now.
I feel gross.
I feel gross. I hope he's not on, but Lord knows he's going to be. I just wonder, honestly, if I could have a kiki with Andy, one of my questions to him on or off AG would be like, genuinely, what do you think of Shep now? Because Andy had a real love for him. You know, Shep reads. Shep seems educated. Shep seems cultured. Shep yeah. puts himself as the smartest person in the room. And for a while, I genuinely believed it. And I just wonder, Andy obviously did too. I just wonder how Andy feels about him.
He was giving him, he was really, really going at him.
Felt he could have done it a little bit more, but also I was so angry that it's like my opinion couldn't be trusted.
I thought his interview that he gave them, he really held his feet to the fire.
Okay, that's good.
I mean, he could always do more, but I personally didn't have any critiques of that, whereas sometimes I'll have critiques where I'll be like, you're not being nice enough to Carol. So I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, it's been an interesting week. It's been an interesting week for Bravo. Speaking of all things Bravo, of which this podcast is focused on, guys, if you do not follow me on Instagram, which 99% of you do not, follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. I have a very, very exciting announcement about next week's guest. Y'all are going to lose your minds, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to submit some satchels of gold for my kiki with that person next week. So if you do not follow me on Instagram, which is the place that I get my satchels, you should, and sometimes email when you guys reach out through my website, you should at Dame Galley, Twitter at Sarah Galley. Z-Way, tell the people how to get in touch with you and tell you about Pop Show and a Potomac presence.
I have a Pop Show on September 21st at 7:30 p.m. on Union Hall. You can follow me on Instagram at ZWEF, that's ZIWEF, or on Twitter at ZWE, at ZIWE. Yeah, that's pretty much all that's going on. Watch Baited with ZWE, watch Jesus and Mero, I don't know. Do whatever.
And watch Dallas, which premieres next week, I think Wednesday night.
Yeah, the 4th.
We'll be breaking it down.
Follow me and talk to me about Real Housewives. It's because my friends also don't watch Real Housewives. I know. So that's why I do podcasts like this.
Holler, and I love being in constant communication with you about Potomac and everything else. It's amazing. Such a pleasure to have you back. Can't wait to talk to you again soon. Guys, let us know your thoughts and feels, and we will... talk about whatever and stuff, yada yada. Okay, see y'all next week.